I am Frank Vaughn. It is May 22nd, 2025, and sleep has made a return to my life. Yes, I actually got a full night last night. It's fantastic. I don't fully have the entire range of motion, but once again, I am very thankful for all of your prayers, all of your advice. All of it's been great, but I have managed this without chiropractors or anything else. And chiropractors are great, by the way. A lot of you have been talking about chiropractors. I had a great one back east. I don't have one here. I haven't had the need since I moved out here. Everything's changed since I've been here. In general, I've felt a lot better than I ever did back east in terms of health. I don't know if it's the change or lack of humidity. I don't know if it's the reduction in stress. Either way, I feel better, and I am thankful. And I just want to say that it's a good idea for us to count our blessings, and not in the typical way. Some of the things that I am most thankful for are hot water on demand, for instance. Most of the world doesn't have hot water on demand, but I do, and I am thankful for it. Most people in the world still to this day don't have water on demand. They have to go to a well and they got to draw it. They got to carry it back in their house. Most of us in the West are just able to turn on a tap and water just comes out of it. I'm thankful for clean water. Even here in Canada, there are probably millions of people who don't have access to clear, clean drinking water. So I'm thankful for that. I am thankful for my two beautiful children who are hale and healthy and polite and considerate and emotionally empathetic. I'm thankful for my wife who takes care of me, who reminds me today as I got up with a full head of steam this morning with a bit of sleep, who reminded me that I can't just go full bore and full tilt into all the tasks that I feel like I need to do, because she's right. I still have the injury. It's still quite sensitive. I can still irritate it, but am I ever thankful for sleep? And am I ever thankful for some range of motion? I'm also thankful for muscle relaxants and Advil. The opiates. 20 years ago, I had to go to a pharmacy to get over-the-counter Tylenol 2s because it was all that was available to me. And we made the mistake over the last 4 days of walking into a pharmacy and asking for the same thing. The pharmacist said, "We can write prescriptions, but we're not doing that for you today. They treat you like criminal scum because you want some kind of opiate to help with your pain." And I think that's a byproduct of a society that is thoroughly overrun with fentanyl. It's not codeine that's doing the problem. Codeine will rot out your guts before you can ever get fully addicted to it. That's why they go to morphine and fentanyl and all these other derivative products. But I digress. I am super thankful. I'm also very thankful for my local post office worker. And I just want to go over a couple comments. I'm not going to name her, but she's fantastic. And the conversation that we had about Canada Post yesterday, it's not the individual postal workers that I'm talking about. I'm talking about the union, which runs the show. And there's a whole segment and cohort of union members who disagree with this strike. I know several of them. So it's not about the individuals. It's also, when I talk about Canada Post as a business model that is failing, that's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the business of Canada Post and what has happened to it. Now, I got to go over a couple comments. Peaches says, "My husband and I have a U.S. mailing postal box, and I can order something from a Canadian Etsy seller. And if I ship it to the U.S., it's cheaper for it to go to the U.S. than to ship it to me here in the same country. Canada Post is so expensive now, and their service is not good at all." These are true observations. It's not just this one individual. As I said, I don't even know if I got into this yesterday, but I was talking to somebody who has hundreds of thousands of articles of clothing that they accumulated to sell on eBay. Their whole eBay business is now rendered completely obsolete because Amazon delivers for virtually free using their own private systems. Sometimes they use Canada Post for small items, but generally speaking, Canada Post is being phased out of their supply chain. It's actually a problem. Where I live, I'm very dependent on Canada Post, and this is something different about me from other people. And other people have this ability to make decisions for the common good that actually greatly impact their own well-being. I need Canada Post. I'm very dependent on their services, and I can still sit here and say that their business model doesn't make any sense, and even though it would be a great inconvenience to me, and it would actually potentially hurt the people I value if they were phased out or closed off and their branches were shut, I can see that Canada Post has a big problem. Anyway, back to the guy with the clothing. He can't afford to ship in Canada. So his business is essentially locked out of the market. He's being outcompeted every which way. And this is one of the problems. It is prohibitively expensive to ship with Canada Post, all while they are losing massive amounts of money. But I want to give the union its due. This is obviously somebody who is much in favor of the union, obviously a Canada Post worker who feels entitled to the massive wage increases in spite of the fact that they're losing serious amounts of money. Sina LaJoy, you seriously need to do your research in all caps. So I guess that the point is emphasized. I love it when people lead with all caps. It generally means that nothing rational is about to follow. CUPW is not asking paid winter tires. We are asking that the corporation put winter tires on their corporate vehicles instead of all season. Okay, great. It's still a demand, still over winter tires. It's still going to cost Canada Post the same amount of money. We are not asking them to pay for our lunch. It's actually in the demands. We are asking for overtime over 8 hours. And if you had a clue how routes were valued, you would understand that the issue there, because some of us are not hourly, we are salaried. So if we have to work 12 hours, we don't get paid for four. Oh, that's a shame. That's a shame. You know, Man Meat's out there probably sleeping in his van. Gaganpreet is probably sleeping in the warehouse. I'm not saying that's right either, but I'm saying in light of the fact that your government and the system around you and the corporate society that we live in is building private systems that are outcompeting Canada Post, should let you know that if you're going to put all these demands on the table, you're probably going to end up losing everything and you're going to have nothing left. Now, we'll get to that in a minute. Tranny meds, fertility meds, why do you have to get so specific? We have a drug plan. Why am I getting specific? Because the union got specific. They want tranny meds covered. They want fertility meds covered. I mean, come on. The union specific. 19% wage increase over 4 years. Yeah. 4.5% a year. Your company is losing hundreds of millions of dollars every single year. And you think you're justified wanting a 20%, near 20% wage increase? That's less than the cost of living. Nobody cares about your cost of living. No one cares. When your company's losing money, and you don't generate a profit, it doesn't matter what your cost of living is because there's a different model out there that's working. Whether it's working well or not is another story. But like I said, Man Meat and Gaganpreet, they're managing to make it. How are they managing to make it? That's a question for you to solve. It's not a question for you to go back to the government and demand that they legislate rules that make sure that you can still get a golden, like, you have to understand your business model's broken. No one can afford to ship with you. Your key product is moving stuff around the country and nobody can afford to use you, so they use other companies. And in the midst of that crisis, which is what it is, you want more money for a whole diverse list of things. Educate yourself before you get on YouTube and spew your garbage. You should learn how to do business math. It's simple economics. If your company's losing money, the workers and management and everybody involved cannot afford to ask for more. I've read your demands. Your company is losing money. How do you not understand you aren't being realistic? You're not reading CUPW demands. Again, caps for emphasis. You do realize that CP took a hit in 2022 and 2023 because they bought a whole new fleet of corporate vehicles, plus had charging stations installed, even though CP vehicles aren't going electric. You're kind of making my point for me. They're spending money on stupid things and losing money all over the place. Like, you're not really, and I'm not really, this is the thing. When you've never been self-employed, when you've never had to balance a budget before in your life outside of your household expenses, when you've never had to manage a business, I can understand for some people it's a little hard to understand that buying a new fleet of corporate vehicles and building charging stations is part of your expenses. It's part of the reason why you're losing money. This isn't even an argument. It's ridiculous. I don't know how you are misinterpreting the demands of CUPW. CP is not bleeding money. Yes, you are. And all the laughing tear emotes in the world won't change that. You've been losing money since 2018. Are you one of these people that think we make $40 an hour starting wage? I don't care what you make. I'm not here to tell you what you should and shouldn't make. I'm here to tell you that you're unrealistic in your demands. The only way for what you want to be realistic is if you expect the taxpayer to step in and prop you up, even though nobody can afford to use your service. Like, I don't know how you're not getting it. CP handled 286 million parcels in 2023. Minimum $10 per parcel. That is absolutely a minimum, for sure. You ever tried to ship anything with CP? Sometimes my kid's Oma sends them cookies in the mail. They're the most expensive cookies ever imagined, and she still does it. God bless her soul for it. $2.8 billion. She's talking about gross revenue. Gross revenue is not profits, but I wouldn't expect somebody who doesn't understand basic business math to understand that. Now, also factor in the sale of stamps and all the other products and try and convince me that they're in the hole. 68,000 employees, do the math. I've done the math, sweetheart. CP releases statements, financial statements. Hundreds of millions of dollars is what you're losing. You're not informed. I'm informed. You're not informed. You're thinking with your paycheck. You're thinking with your pocketbook. Economics doesn't care about your pocketbook. Anyway, I just said they have lost billions in the last 5 years. You just don't like the math because it highlights that your position is thoroughly unrealistic. And at that point, of course, they dropped off. Maybe they started using a search engine and they found out just how much trouble Canada Post actually is in. And in the midst of all that, once again, first off, they went on strike during Christmas because their idea of maximizing their leverage was to punish their customers. Do you understand how foolish that is? They weren't punishing management. They weren't punishing the government. They were punishing people who were trying to use their service to get Christmas gifts shipped around the country. That's how they sent their message. And guess what happened? People found alternative routes, and Canada Post lost again. Now, in the middle of tax review season, it's only May. There's a lot going on. People trying to ship stuff everywhere. Once again, and not just that. I mean, seed shipments, and I can't even. There's so many things. There's nursery shipments, even though most nursery shipments don't go through Canada Post, they go through other providers for all the reasons that I'm highlighting. You're going to punish your customers again. That's your tactic, to punish the people who are paying your wage. And you don't even understand that that's what you're doing. This is why Canada Post is in deep trouble. And I just want to say again, there's a lot of awesome postal workers out there. My postmaster is an amazing woman. I love her. She does her job so good. And I'm so dependent on, like, she's not just done good things for me through Canada Post, but she's done good things for me unofficially, helping me get stuff shipped that, because Canada Post, once again, they have this rule where any other courier service, whether it's Purolator or it's UPS or anybody, is not allowed to drop packages off the post office because they're competition. So it inconveniences people who live in rural areas like I live in rural Saskatchewan who don't have street addresses. We can't get stuff delivered to our door, so we need a central location. We need somebody with an address to get our packages delivered, and sometimes we need somebody to sign for those packages. It creates a bit of a hoopla. And Canada Post doesn't make it easier because they disallow, they don't like packages being dropped off. So they're not willing to do us any favors. And it's bad business policy over and over and over again. And this postmaster helped us find addresses outside of the post office, and it's just gone above and beyond. So she's a saint. It's not about her. This is about Canada Post and the union and a business model that's broken and they haven't figured it out. And that's it. Building on the discussion yesterday, for those of you who got all the way through the video, we looked at how hard it is to peg down what exactly Mark Carney's going to do, because this man can say one thing and do another thing fluidly, and his body language completely matches up. So yes, in 2021, he wrote a book called Values. He talked about net zero and all of this extremist policy. But in 2021, it was big money. Public regulation was pushing people in that direction. Private money was flowing. Public money was flowing. And everybody was there at the trough to try and get a piece. Well, now things are different. Canada's largest pension plan quietly abandons net zero. This is published yesterday. Canada Pension Plan Investment Board dropped its commitment to achieve net zero emissions by 2050, just 3 years after establishing the target. I totally just tweaked my neck. Fantastic. this is a theme. It's not just net zero. It's also the DEI nonsense. It was big money. It was a big theme for several years, and now it's quietly being abandoned because it doesn't make money. And people can see that the world, especially in North America, things are changing. Trump came into the presidency. He is doing some incredibly different things, and he's trying to take North America in a different direction. Now, when it comes to reading Mark Carney and figuring out whether we're going to be U.S. aligned or not, yeah, his public statements say the relationship with the United States is over, yet we're still looking to benefit from their defense umbrella. We're still looking to benefit from their capital. The trade war is on hold. But again, it's incredibly hard to get a read on Mark Carney. Let's listen to him.
With respect to broader defense, whether it's air, sea, land, cyber, we have other partnerships that we can strike. And one of the things, as you will have heard, but I'll repeat, that we have been discussing with our European partners is becoming a full partner of Rearm Europe, Safe Europe, different acronyms.
Now, for those of you who don't know, Europe is an ocean away. Our defense concerns here in Canada are not European defense concerns. We keep talking about rebuilding Ukraine. We keep talking about spending unending amounts of tax dollars. Money we don't have. Canada has problems. We got reserves that don't have clean water. We have people living off reserve that don't have clean water. We have an affordability crisis. We have all the emergencies that Mark Carney himself highlighted through his so-called election campaign. But we got all this money to send over to Europe. We've got all of these resources to align ourselves with Europe. Our defense concerns don't include Europe. To hell with Europe. It's time they started figuring it out on their own. The American umbrella cannot defend everybody. And the ingratitude, it's not just the ingratitude of Canada towards the United States. The trade surplus is one thing. Living under their defense umbrella is another thing. Not making our NATO commitments is another thing. But it's not just Canada that is ungrateful for U.S. protection. There's 100,000 U.S. troops stationed in Europe right now guaranteeing their security. And all they do is trash talk everything the administration is trying to do and deny the very real truths that the administration is trying to highlight, such as the genocide that's been going on in South Africa now for some time. How many years has it been since Lauren Southern put out her documentary Farmland? We're talking thousands, tens of thousands of farmers destroyed and ruined by a government committing to destroying and ending all white life in South Africa. It's crazy and it's covered up. Look, I don't know why I have to say this. It is quite possible for governments to be racist against white people. White people are a global minority. They're not a global majority. They're a global minority. And within our countries, the only systemic racism that actually exists in any conceivable way is racism against whites. People talk about the incarceration rate among the black population in the United States. They talk about the incarceration rate among the indigenous people here in Canada. What you should be talking about is just raw crime. It doesn't matter the color of skin of the person committing the crime. If there's an identifiable ethnic group that is committing more crimes, you should try to figure out why. You shouldn't try and cover it up, and you shouldn't try and label it away as racist. You should deal with the problem head on. And furthermore, and you'll find this if you have conversations with people in these minority communities, they're upset that there's so much going on and so much wrong that's actually making a bad name for those people who are just trying to honestly get by. We need to be having honest conversations. One of those honest conversations is about the reality of what's happening in South Africa.
Turn the lights down. Turn the lights down and just put this on. It's right behind you, Johan.
This is the South African president that Donald Trump is doing this in front of. The ball's on this man. He needs a wheelbarrow. Honestly, it doesn't matter for you to understand what's being said here. I'm sure most of you have already seen this. But the fact of the matter is the president of the United States put South Africa right on the spot about a genocide that's ongoing in South Africa and is one of the only global leaders who's willing to even talk about or bring this subject up. It's really important. The liberals in this country just enable it, just like they enable everything else. We fund the Syrian regime, which is killing Christians. We fund terrorist regimes all over the world. We allow Hamas and Hezbollah to launder money right here in Canada. They have drug empires. They launder the money. They ship it overseas to fund their murder sprees. I've covered this on my channel. This isn't just me talking. I have covered international communities' reports. People understand that Canada is a clearinghouse for organized crime and terrorist networks all over the world, in spite of the fact that over the Biden administration, illegal immigrant encounters on the southern border was something like 100 times higher than it was here in Canada. Just an orders of magnitude higher down there. Yet, they encountered terrorists trying to get into the United States, people on the terror watch list, 600% more than at the southern border on the northern border. So that means more terrorists were infiltrating from Canada to the United States in spite of a 100x increase in volume of people infiltrating the United States from the southern border. Canada is a huge security risk for the United States. It's not even funny. It's not just the Communist Party. It's so much more than that. But I digress from the point. He put the South African leader on the spot about an ongoing genocide, and the mainstream media's response was once again to lie and pretend it's not even going on. When exactly did Western civilization lose its backbone? It's not okay to target whites for erasure anywhere in the world. It's also not okay to say a phrase like, you can't be racist against white people. First off, what is like the very term white people, what is it to be white? Because if you talk to white people, they'll talk about their Dutch background. They'll talk about their German background or their French background or their English background or their Scottish background or their Irish background. There's a lot of diversity in the Western world, which seems to have just disappeared completely off the radar. We're not diverse peoples. We're just white. We're generalized away. What is that? Why is the death of all of these cultures that I've just highlighted and many more sought by official government policy in favor of, in the case of Canada, in favor of people who've never even paid into the system? We're just rolling over. We're just allowing ourselves to be targeted for erasure. That's the systemic racism that's going on right now. It's not the incarceration rates. It's the fact that people are being excluded from jobs based on the color of their skin. People are being considered for job placements and considered for roles based on the color of their skin or based on their gender. Even though the left can't identify what a woman is, they're very concerned with achieving gender parity. Whatever the hell that means when a man can just identify as a woman and is supposed to be considered a woman. There's lots of racism going on, but it's coming from the government and it's against the population of majority here in Canada, there in the United States. DEI is nothing but racist policy. If you want to create a truly equal society, it has got to be colorblind, and it has to judge people based on their merits. It shouldn't matter the color of your skin if you commit a crime. Did you commit the crime? Did the person commit the crime? Did they do something heinous? Colorblind. Send them to jail. No special treatment. If we want to clean things up and we want to actually make things good again, this is the kind of justice we're going to have to visit. Colorblind, equal, applying to all, regardless of ethnic background, race, color, and creed. And no consideration for your ethnic background or the so-called social stigma or the social injustice that's been visited upon you and your people. Ridiculous. It just takes responsibility off the individual and throws it on society and doesn't make anything better. Look around you. Has anything gotten better in the last 10 years since we started embracing this madness, or have things gotten clearly worse? The answer is self-evident. But I don't expect things to change federally anytime soon here in Canada. This is Mark Carney. Canadians gave us a clear mandate to stand up for our country and build a strong economy that works for everyone. To deliver that change, we must act with urgency and determination. Read my mandate letter to Canada's ministry. Why would I even bother? Dude, you're going to have 3 weeks of sessions in Parliament, and then you're all going home until September. That doesn't exactly scream urgency and determination. You're governing by fiat for goals and objectives that Canadian people have. We don't even know. We have no idea. I've never seen a more opaque prime minister in the history of this country. I don't even know how to read this guy other than in terms of his career. He's been a very good looter. And he's at the head of a government that has 10 years experience looting the Canadian people. So the only thing I can guarantee is that the looting will continue. Adam Szivo, housing minister, says unaffordable homes are the answer. Gregor Robertson wants to protect assets of existing, mostly older homeowners. Adam Szivo is the author. Gregor Robertson is the housing minister. Canada's new housing minister, Gregor Robertson, says the price of existing homes shouldn't go down lest this negatively impact current homeowners, and that affordable housing should be provided through massive government subsidies instead. His position is economically illiterate and raises concerns about his fitness to lead his portfolio. None of these people are fit to lead. Chrystia Freeland was a journalist. She wrecked every single portfolio she touched. There's a solid element of Canadian society that is so illiterate and so politically divorced that they decided to vote these people back in. I don't think that they got voted back in completely by fraud. I think that there's definitely a component of our elections that I can no longer trust. But this is nothing new, man. And the fact is, the price of housing in Canada is in decline. In spite of the fact that we are sardine canning people in through the border still, in spite of the fact that we're not building, in spite of the fact that rents are through the roof and the cost of living is through the roof, the price, I saw an example this morning of somebody who had bought in 2022 and sold in 2025 at a loss of $400,000. That's just one example of hundreds. You know, I started texting with some real estate agents that I know around the country. They're reporting the same thing. There is a world where rent stays high, but the price of the underlying real estate goes down. There is nothing the Canadian government's going to do to stop this because the Canadian government's broke. Canada is broke. And this is why my main thesis has been for a while that it's long since past time we basically give up on the federal government. We have got to advocate at the provincial level because the federal government is here to destroy this country. They're continuing a process that's been ongoing for some time. But Mark Carney's here to oversee it, to oversee the finish. And the provinces, the only thing we got left to do is to position ourselves for prosperity moving forward, independent of Canada. That's it. Whether we're in the Federation or not, independent of Canada means independent of the federal government, means independent of what the federal government and what direction they're trying to send us in. We got to stand on our own. The provinces are autonomous. There are various means that our provincial governments can latch onto in terms of public messaging, which can create the pretext for the creation of new systems of government. We can do this. Now, it doesn't appear to be happening quickly. I don't understand why Smith and Moe are not acting with a greater sense of urgency considering the change that's coming to the world. We don't have a whole hell of a lot of time to position ourselves. I think the timeline of 2026 for a referendum, it's too far out. But I'm not in a position to set it. And honestly, I think still at the moment, working through the existing political structures is the best path forward at the provincial level. Now, some would say it's time to create something brand new. I'm not quite there yet. I still want to see our existing leadership, elected by the people of these provinces, do what's right for the people that elected them in these provinces. And if that comes at the cost of angering a percentage of Canada, so be it. Canada's not doing any good for anybody right now. In spite of this flag behind me, I have no idea what to replace it with. I'm kind of at a loss. Every time I try, I just end up coming back to it because it's kind of signature. Anyway, I digress. And there's that catchphrase that everybody loves. I digress. Someone said I need t-shirts that say I digress. Maybe one day. But at any rate, the Carney government's sense of urgency and determination is to go home for the summer. There's no emergency. I'm pretty sure he knows exactly what he's doing. I'm pretty sure they have a plan. And the plan is the continued destruction of your ability to live, your ability to function, and your ability to live in a free and clear society. Honestly, nobody knows what to expect, except that it's probably going to be very bad. I'm Frank Vaughn, and I'll see you in the next one.